In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we enter beautifully into this Ororata Caeli Mass. It's so named because of those are the first words that you hear from the introit, from the beginning of the Mass, where we cry out Rorate Caeli, turning to our Queen who is Queen of the Heavens. And so here within this time, I want to share with you a particular hymn or poem which is about 500 years old. It was taken from the Cluniac Missal of 1523, so just shy of 500 years. And this is a beautiful meditation on the Blessed Virgin. It says, Gabriel sent from heaven, faithful bearer of the word, holds a sacred converse with the Holy Virgin. In the inner chamber, he discloses the good and sweet word, and inverting the names of Eve, Eva becomes Ave, his salutation we hail. The covenant made and instantly there was present, the word made flesh. Yet the pure maid, a virgin, is still forever. Parent like no other mother, yet losing not her the treasure, giving birth to her child, yet not a pain or travail. Unheard of prodigy, 'tis so indeed, and all thou, my soul, canst do is to believe. We have not power to lose the latchet. It is a great and wondrous portent of the burning bush, and let him that would approach take off the sandals from his feet. A dry branch with not one drop of dew, once yielded a flower and fruit. It was a new law, a new way, and so it, when the Virgin brought forth her son. What a blessed fruit, a fruit of joy and not of woe. There will be no Adam deceived, if men but eat of this. He is our Jesus, the good Jesus, lovely burden of a lovely mother. He who was a throne in heaven, he who has a throne in heaven, has a stable for his birth. May he that for our sakes was thus born wipe away all our guilt, for our sojourn here is full of dangers. There we have a beautiful meditation upon the Blessed Virgin, this from the beginning of her call all the way up until what portents what our needs of this Christ child is. I wish to explain each little stroke, as it were, and let that be our meditation for this Saturday, in honor of Our Lady during the Advent season. It begins, Gabriel sent from heaven, faithful bearer of the word, holds the sacred converse with the Holy Virgin. To ponder for a moment what that sacred converse is, the way in which each member, as we meditated upon our gospel, as well as the gospel for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which we shared just the other day, that this one angel sent from heaven was not merely a faithful bearer of that word which is spoken in the Holy Converse, but also he was the one who bore that gift of the Word incarnate, who is the person of Christ. He holds a sacred converse with the Virgin, which is where that word converse is, where two people turn toward or against one each other, but share something. And that which was shared there was the most important converse ever in history. The next says, in the inner chamber he discloses the good and sweet word. You're referring to there is not merely the inner chamber where he encountered the Blessed Virgin Mary in prayer, but in the inner chamber of her soul, where he exchanges to her that good and sweet word, which is our Lord, whose sweetness is unknown in all of human or eternal history. And in there, Mary changes who she is, taking on her true role, which is not to be merely the maiden of Nazareth. But she inverts the name Eve so that it becomes Eva, and later becomes Ave. A beautiful turn of phrase in the Latin, where Eva is the name of Eve, turns that Eva so that it may become an Ave, which is to invert the words Ave Maria, gratia plena. There his salutation takes a true meaning, where that old Eve, turned around in her sin, was turned aright in Mary. The next strophe. The covenant made, and instantly there was present the Word made flesh. So we see that in that first instant, when she says, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word," in that very instant, the Word was made flesh in her womb. As soon as the covenant was made with her, not merely with her lips, but her giving herself totally with her soul, that from that instant, Christ took on flesh within her. On an individual note, for you and I, it can be the same. The moment when you and I give consent to the Word to make his flesh even within our own flesh, the same thing happens from an instant. That with a soulful gift of ourselves to God, we can make it in the person of the Blessed Virgin as she helps us, for she too is our mother as well, that the Word is actually able to be present within us instantly. But remaining in the context of history, the strophe continues, "And yet the purer maid is a virgin still forever." Parent like no other. Mother, yet not losing the treasure. That remains to show the very same message, that she is a mother like no other, for she is not a single mother, as some heretically speak about her, but rather she is a parent, a co-parent with God himself. And yet never did she lose the treasure of her virginity, giving birth to her child, yet not in pain or travail. Harkens back to, because she was conceived without original sin, so she was not heir to the effects of original sin, one of which is pain in childbirth, travail and difficulty, as was the curse. For she, undoing the curse, had no share within the sin of Eve. Continuing, her unheard of prodigy, "'Tis so indeed, and all thou my soul canst do is believe. We have not power to loose the latchet." This is a strophe that marvels at the goodness of what happened there in the incarnation, in that beautiful moment with Mary and the angel. That is so far beyond you and I that the only response that you and I can have is with the whole of our soul to give ourselves totally to the belief that God is powerful enough, that he is good enough, that he wills it so. And so all I can do in awe of such a mystery is give my placha, give my agreement, give my soul, because we cannot loose the latchet of so great a mystery. For it is so far beyond us even to touch the latchet, but rather to marvel at the distance which the Lord places us. The meditation continues, "It is the great and wondrous portent of the burning bush. Let him that would approach take off the sandals from his feet." One of the titles of Our Lady is Burning Bush, because she, a creature, is able to take on the very fullness of God and yet not be consumed. Recall in the Old Testament that everyone who ever encountered the messenger of God fell down upon their face because they believed that no man could see God and live. For so great and powerful is his holiness that humanity would burn and be consumed in the presence of such greatness of God. And true, it would be without the act of God miraculously hiding even portions of himself. But yet in the Virgin Mary being immaculate, totally pure, the vessel which was made, and so she herself becomes a burning bush. And so if we are to approach so great a mystery, then we too must remove our sandals. Doesn't mean necessarily, though, maybe. Rather than removing the sandals of our feet, it is calling for a revealing of our weakness and a recognition of the awe that you and I should have when approaching the Blessed Virgin, who is our mother. And of approaching this mystery, that we should not run where angels fear to tread. It says, a dry branch with one drop of dew, with not one drop of dew, once yielded a flower and a fruit. It was a new law, a new way. So it was when the virgin brought forth her son. Again, this is in reference to the prophecy of Isaiah, with speaking of that which was lost in hope, without hope, where the stump of Jesse was thought to be undone, destroyed. It had not even a single drop of dew. And yet, out of God's great miraculous gift, there a flower is blossoming and a root has shot forth. And even greater, the fruit has already come. That is Christ. It was a new law. It was a new way. And so it was when the virgin brought forth her son. That something totally new is going on, just like is prophesied elsewhere. It says, what a blessed fruit, a fruit of joy and not of woe. There will be no Adam deceived, but if men but eat of this. Recalling Genesis chapter 3, that this is not a fruit that brings sorrow or fruit that brings difficulty within our lives, but rather a fruit that fills us with joy, meaning that finally the soul can feel its worth and know how deeply it is loved by God, and therefore the fruit produced in the human soul that knows that they are truly loved by God so greatly, as this mystery portends for us, is that joy springs forth from the soul, recognizing its worth. No man will ever be deceived if he but eat of the fruit of the womb of the Blessed Virgin. That is the promise of the Eucharist. He is our Jesus. He is the good Jesus, lovely burden of so lovely a mother, he who has a throne in heaven and yet has a stable for his birth. May he that for our sakes was thus born wipe away all our guilt, for our sojourn here is full of so many dangers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.